The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and defensive mime.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Hirn schließen! Das Blumenpflücken bei der Fass ist verboten!
This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
Good evening and welcome to 2RRR at 8.5 FM. This is A Walk in the Black Forest, episode 241. On tonight's show, US midterm erections, Pete's 60-second rant, Deputy Sheriff of Brokeback Mountain, millions of peaches, the Wolf of Mailbag, anarchy for the heroes list, the toddler list, six Democrats, all that, and a sack full of Rove's talent, yes, it's empty, A Walk in the Black Forest, double-tapping the llama.
Sorry about that. I apologise. It was just me being effusive.
Pete's mic technique involves him swallowing.
Jeez, man. Just do your fucking story, will you? Because, look, just for everyone at home, we're sitting in our production meeting this afternoon.
Yeah.
About 4 o'clock.
Let's just say it took 5 hours to get through the damn thing.
At Machiavelli.
And Pete goes, I've got this great idea. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell a story after every song. So when we come on, shh, just be quiet.
I'm just going to go straight into my story thing.
And then the very first break we come on, and B goes, yep, bit ready.
23 minutes to the hour, 11 o'clock here on 2RRR 8.5 FM. This is the Walk in the Black Forest.
You're all of a sudden 85 or something.
I need to do, though, before I actually go into...
Tell us a story, Pete. I need to set it up.
As we know,
has it got dragons in it?
No.
What about bears? I like bears. Bears with porridge.
Tell us a story, Uncle Pete.
Oh, wow! Is it about Noah?
Come on, Uncle Pete. Tell us a story.
Uncle Pete's
talking about tell us a story about Auntie Lizzie in the bathtub at the time.
No. I'm not going to. What I'm going to talk about is, as we know, the American midterm elections are happening, almost happening as we speak.
Do you want interaction?
If you wish. American midterm elections for the...
I know they're on.
For a pile of different things from, obviously, Congress right
so
down
So haven't
to,
got a pop filter.
Right down to the gardener at the council houses of people who live in Maine.
That's brilliant. You know, actually, those gardeners do not get enough respect. Let's be honest, it's an elected position. If you want to do it, stand for it.
In the city of San Jose in California, they are, in fact, doing, I think, about 17 different elections.
Wow.
And about 19 new propositions for the state of change the constitution of the state of California.
No wonder no one in
state is it?
Pardon?
Legal down there, is it?
It is down there, yeah.
No wonder no one in
America. Now Arnold's in charge. Mm. But getting that out of the way, I was today, of course, trying to follow the build-up to the American election, probably arguably one of the most important midterm elections, because it determines whether George Bush is considered to be even a bigger lame duck than he actually is now. So...
That was lame duck.
I said lame duck. With a D. I said lame duck. But so I've actually so what I decided to do, and we'll go through a few of these, and I'll keep up to date. I'll constantly check in the wire that we have here. We actually have
awesome, Pete.
We have numerous news computers across the studio here. Yeah,
we'll just check the wires. Every couple of minutes, we'll just be checking the wires.
In fact, Abe is unfortunately sitting on AP.
I am sitting on AP, and look, obviously he's excited to have me here. I can tell.
That's good.
Did you check the Wibbuff budget to see if we can afford this?
Doesn't come out of our budget. It comes out of Trampoline's budget.
That's fair enough.
Bugger. Anyway,
thank Trampoline.
Thank you.
You know, you've got to admit, Trampoline have a fantastic news network all across Europe, some parts of America. There's no way we could do this show without the Trampoline news network.
They are the French connection.
They are the French connection. Thank you. So there's no news yet on the key races in the midterm elections. Of course, the big one at the moment is the race for Connecticut, where
huge race there.
Ex-vice presidential candidate... Joe Lieberman, who's quit the day. He ran
Brother
with Gore.
Steve.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
he quit the Democrats after a run-in with the Democratic Party over his position, the fact that he thinks Iraq's a great idea. Running against Democrat Ned Lamont and,
Iraq in general.
Idea.
I don't think we should
The country. Iraq is a good idea.
I think the name. I think you just like
the name. Yeah.
Because you can use it in multiple contexts. You can say Iraq. Iraq?
Well, see, that's the problem.
Do you think France is a good idea?
No, they hate the name of France. They do.
The big question, the thing that actually split the Democrats was it IRAK or IRAQ? Mm. That was the big problem, because Americans still aren't too sure.
Because the French spell it IRAK, I think.
I believe they do. In fact, a lot of the English call it Iraq as well.
They do. But,
okay, as opposed to a T.
With the breaking news, I actually went to the Connecticut Daily Examiner, which is the state newspaper for Connecticut. Mm. I thought I'd see some... hardcore running news about what was going on in the state of Connecticut in this very important midterm electoral race. The lead story on the Connecticut Daily News this week comes from Chicago, Illinois, where Kirstie Alley, who was once the fat actress, donned a bikini to show on the Oprah show to show that she had lost 95 pounds.
Excellent. Did she cut off her head?
No. She says, I don't think we're ever good enough. I don't think we're ever thin enough or pretty enough or smart enough or work hard enough, but we are good enough. She's fulfilled a pledge that she made a year ago to wear a maroon-coloured bikini on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
This is interesting.
There we go. Important news being reported from the Connecticut Daily Examiner.
This is interesting.
On the hardcore contest between Joe Lieberman and Lamont.
This does actually have repercussions for the U.S. presidential race because actually, the race is such. Because George W. Bush is doing it next week.
Oh, excellent.
He's appearing in a blue bikini.
Nice.
As a bit of a counterpoint.
Yep.
And the two of them are going to face off.
More a red bikini.
Why would he wear a red bikini?
Because red is the color of the Democrats. As the Republicans.
See, I don't understand that.
Red is Republican. Blue is Democrat.
Why?
Blue state, red state.
Because they just happened to use those colours once on a telecast, and they've stuck with them ever since.
There we go.
Doesn't make any sense.
I know. Anyway,
first intelligent comment from Richard this evening.
It was.
Just this evening.
Just this
evening.
That petition never worked, did it?
You will find my true love.
Yes. Okay. I'm not even going to attempt to sing. We'll be checking back.
Please don't, because after that, I'm sorry, but none of you can complete.
I will be singing them later in the show. There will be love songs and dedications going out to Matthew Curley and Bruce Flaherty.
Excellent. Two of our very important listeners. We're going to check back with the American elections later in the show because it's obviously an important thing and there's a lot of important comment and a lot of important perspectives that need to be reported, which aren't being reported in this country because obviously we don't have a free fucking press.
No need to be rude about it.
I don't think you need to swear, do you?
I do.
Do have a free fucking press. Now, look at Paul.
Well, I look forward to more press. Updates later in the evening from the more French
updates.
Connection.
Indeed, more updates.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yeah, sure.
Hello, I'm over here.
Why does every paper in the world have to end, their title have to end with either Examiner, Mirror, Telegraph, or Herald?
Or Times.
Times, too. Times. I don't know. It was funny, I went through a list today of every American newspaper, and God, they've got some really warped names. Most of them do end in those...
Tribune.
Tribune's a good one. Mm. My personal is the Seattle one, which is the Seattle Post-Intelligencer.
Whoa, that sounds like some kind of secret club.
That's a nice twist.
That's
isn't
a good
it?
One.
Do you think
I like
anyone
that
gets it.
Can I be in the Post Intelligencer?
They're from Seattle, so they probably do.
Hey, well, Kurt Cobain probably got it.
Well,
that's why he died.
They're sipping their organic chai lattes up there in. Up there in
Kurt
Seattle.
Cobain got it in the head.
I know. Downtown. From Courtney.
Boom, boom. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have, and I guess I'll kick in this myself. We have, not recently, about a year and a half ago, we basically signed away our entire life.
I didn't get to play a sting.
I'll play a sting.
AK-47. When you absolutely, positively got to kill every motherfucker in the room, except no substitutes.
Nice.
See, I made stings.
That was smooth. I like that.
So, I particularly like the way that we said, here's a sting. Played it and then came back and said, that was a sting. That's a really good sting.
No one actually let me do it.
So let's practice this
without
actually referring to the sting. So I'll just say, you listen to Walk by Frost, 888.5 FM.
Walk in the Black Forest.
So, we signed our life away. You try.
Well, I need to rehearse it a bit.
We'll have to practice that.
Can I try again?
We can try it again. Let's try it one more time.
Oh, good.
So you're listening to Welcome by Forest here on
88.5 FM, and now...
Let me get to something good.
So now we're listening to and now? Okay, I've got to practice it.
Good one, Pete. Good one.
All right. So there we go. Let's try again.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
So about 18 months ago, we signed away our lives to that man, George W.
Let's just say that Abe and I signed our lives to you.
And I signed them away to George W.
Can I just say, I'm really angry about that.
I know, I'm sorry.
You see, look, if I give my proxy over, I don't expect you to give it to someone I don't support.
Same here.
You know, in fact, you know what? That's the last time I ever give you my soul.
I know. I look
like, say I was doing some work for Chris and Maytag.
Yep.
I was doing some stuff for their news network, in France. I was in France.
The CNN, yep.
And I gave you my proxy.
Yep.
The last thing I'd want you to do is try and get me involved while I'm doing some work in France.
I know, exactly. I agree, unreservedly don't apologise.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to turn my phone off if you were to call me.
Yeah, good.
Do it.
Go and do it.
I will.
Go on. Anyway, I hadn't lied there, but I'll spoil another segment later. So about 18 months ago, Australia, through the, shall we say, careful and loving felicitations of Mark Vaile, signed away our lives in giving up pretty much most of our
rights
as citizens of the world when we signed the USA-Australia Free Trade Agreement, or more commonly known as the FTA. Now, for the even conservative estimates do point out that the Americans earn quite a few billion dollars out of this extra in money, and Australia, I think, conservatively was going to earn another maybe $17 million, I think, in the first couple of years. But as John Howard said, that's $17 million more than we had. Mm. Simple, really. Think about the logic. You can't knock his logic.
The thing that amazes me about conservatives, and he's talked about this before, the whole on-message thing.
Is that they're idiots.
Yeah, that's true. Is the whole on-message thing, right?
Yep.
So basically we get...
I had a pie today, by the way.
How was that?
It was good.
You poor thing. So basically we take one for the team, one or two from the team, probably one on each end.
Yeah.
And
Karl Rove and Dick Cheney.
That's not...
Walk in the Black Forest, we take both ends of the wedge.
Here we do.
I don't think we'd feel Dick Cheney.
I heard Condoleezza does.
I heard that was GWB.
It could well be.
Anyway. So my point being is...
Yes.
That. So my point being is...
He can't do it on demand. That's
the
problem.
You want me to do it on demand?
You know, if you could do it on demand, you'd have a better job in the industry. Okay, stop now. Oh, God.
Okay, you want demand?
Can I count those? No. Now, my point being is this, right? Okay, they stay on message.
Yep.
The whole thing is the idea of, oh, well, you know, okay, we're going to get, you know, screwed over, but we're going to make $2.50.
Exactly.
Oh, cool. So basically, we're going to get paid $17 million to get basically stoinked over.
Yeah, totally.
That's nice.
It's not a nice word, isn't it? Stoinked.
Technically, we've paid someone to do something bad to us.
Indeed.
So not only do we take it these days from an imperialist power, we pay them to pay us.
Nice, that's isn't cool. it? It's good, isn't it?
Because Return
takes you back to the old Roman Empire, really.
What I don't get is how
good
is,
old days.
How is $17 million a good return on $250 million?
It's better than the return that you would have got under Labor.
Yeah, that's true. Because as you know, interest rates would always be higher under Labor.
Exactly.
So, because we're going into a recession. But let's not go into
the free trade agreement came into effect 1st of January 2005, and gradually over the last 18 or 19 months, we've been starting to see some of the effects of that. Partially, this has been connected with the enormous amount of takeover interest in Australian firms by American private equity firms, including the now released today, the fact that Rebel Sport is under attack by an American private equity firm.
Really?
As well, of course, we know the incursions of Walmart, KKR,
and
Coles.
Not only that, do you know what's in our supermarkets now?
What?
Cheerios.
Oh, yeah, I know.
No, okay, Oreos I can take because they're biscuits and I like them. But I can't eat them. But Cheerios, what's going on? We don't need more cereal. We're the last country in the world that needs more cereal.
But we need Cheerios.
Why?
And we need Frosty Flakes.
No, Frosty Flakes are Australian. That's okay.
No, the proper American Frosty Flakes.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
If we're the last nation in the world that needs cereal...
Who's the first?
That means we still need it.
No,
it's just we're the last of a list of people.
Exactly.
It was more in sarcasm.
Give it to someone else. Give it to New Zealand. They
need it.
Such
a strange term, isn't it?
It is.
Not really.
I mean,
sense.
I'm the last one to comment. See?
You are. It's literal rather than figurative. But
it just doesn't make any sense.
Anyway,
it does make sense.
So,
I'm confused.
We have given away an enormous amount of our rights over the course of the last 18 months. The biggest right, actually, that's now floating around in the news and is not floating around enough in the news, and we need to talk about it on this program, has been the, now through the lower houses of parliament, the amendments to the Australian copyright laws.
Mm-hmm.
Which will affect many people. Now, 6 months ago, as was mentioned in our production meeting, this was first mooted. And the big thing that was mooted by Oppengruber Fuhrer von Ruddock at the time was that you'll be able to just copy your own music. You've got a CD, you'll be able to make a copy of it. That was the big big ticket item. That was the main thing that the press reported.
I'm excited about
it. I think it was, and more particularly, it was... videoing your own TV programs while it's been allowed in the country.
Yes.
It's never been legal.
Yep.
And this will now make it legal to do so.
Correct. Wow. Isn't that fantastic?
That's a great statement. It's awesome. And all the news jumped over it and said it's a great thing. All the papers said this is an awesome thing. See what we're getting from the free... It's good to get something good from the free trade agreement for a change.
As opposed to $17 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
So we'll now be legally able to copy our TV programs and watch them again.
And we may be legally able to copy your CD onto your... MP3 music device.
That was the statement that was made.
May, I think was the word. We have not entirely sure.
That's right. That's the statement that was made, so it was all good news.
Now, I think the interesting thing to come out of that, by the way, is that the government latched onto a piece of technology that's now outdated.
That's also true.
So it's good to see they're up to date with technology. Why didn't they just say...
Oh, that's never outdated. Never.
Why didn't they just say, oh, well, you know, when the free trade agreement comes in, you'll be able to park your horse not, you know, in a special parking area with your carriage.
What are you talking about?
You can make mixtapes and copy things to your, yeah. But answer me this, people.
Yeah, right.
If they are the main things that the Copyright Act, the 2006 Amendments to the Copyright Act is going to do, they're the only things that these amendments are going to do, why the fuck is the Act 275 pages long?
Big font.
Beckle.
What, the current act?
No, the amendment.
Oh, yes.
I went to the Parliament House website today. The amendment, including the explanatory memorandum, which is impenetrable, is 275 pages.
Wow. I must say that it's grown a lot since I looked at it.
This also now includes all the proposed amendments being made by the Senate Parliamentary Committees.
I'm not up to date on those, I'm assuming you're going to fill us in, Pete.
Well, I'm going to fill us in on a few things.
You're going to correct the original thing we just talked about, or are you going to...
No, that's still there.
What, the original? Because the thing is that it's not actually fucking in there.
No, sorry, you're right. I'll get back. Yeah, we'll get to that. I've got that there. So some of the things that are actually going to be that are in the new Copyright Act, the amendments to the Copyright Act, it does maintain the main text of the existing Copyright Act, which is 1968, 69, yep.
And let's just say that the language is very 1969.
It is. And that was in the era of McMahon, I would believe. Would that be correct? Billy McMahon?
I don't know. Possibly. I assume it was because Harold Holt took over and then he died.
Yeah, so it would have been McMahon. I think Gorton was 71. So, yeah, it would have been McMahon.
Do you have parts of the act there, Peter?
I don't have parts of the act there. It was and by impenetrable, I don't actually mean that in a sarcastic hoo-hoo-hoo.
Or sexual way.
Or in a sexual way. Mm. It actually was unreadable. And I've studied law, and it's I found the explanatory memorandum unreadable. It was one paragraph that ran for 27 printed pages, just the explanatory memorandum.
Wow.
And it was one paragraph. There were no paragraph markers.
Some of them, because some of the language in that 69 Act is just
funny. But it's based on the technology of the time,
yeah, sure,
too. Totally.
Sure.
But what are some of the interesting things is that it now puts in new criminal penalties for copyright violation. These are new criminal penalties for copyright violation sit roughly for a single copyright violation, sending you to jail.
Well, look, what are you complaining about? They were going to do flogging and going to jail. So, look, I think the government's done enough.
So you move from what is a single copyright violation of, for example, downloading a song, although the 68 Act would never have referred to that.
They cut off a foot for that.
Photo transmitting, or whatever the word they use from 68.
That's facts, isn't it?
More than one chapter or 10% of a book. You used to get a fine or, you know, slap on the wrist or have to spend 5 minutes in a room with John Howard. Turn a blind eye. But they're talking about indicative penalties of 3 years jail.
Wow. That's a lot for copying a Bono CD.
Tell me, do you think, in some way, shape, or form, that there's been lobbying?
No. Come on.
Lobbying doesn't exist in this country, does it, Pete?
No, I don't think it does.
Everything stands on,
do you think in some way, shape, or form, there's been
even Democratic ground?
Political donations?
I would highly doubt that in this wonderful country.
I would question where those political donations had come from.
Would there be any, perhaps, kowtowing to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act from America?
Possibly, but I doubt
it. Which we're going to inherit.
We are, and part of the Free Trade Agreement is we must inherit the conditions of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the DMCA, which is not particularly well regarded by the Americans.
And what do they inherit from us?
You're about to cancel.
Herpes.
No, but seriously, what do they inherit from us? Do they inherit any Australian laws?
A lackey.
That's true.
No American,
a butt puppet.
No American laws. No American laws have to change. We actually have to put our laws in alignment with theirs.
So what part of colonisation did I miss out on? Was it the landing of the troops, or was it the point where they start killing people I don't agree with?
God, I have a line. I wish I could say it. Damn!
Let's just take 1 year at a time, shall we? Let's not jump ahead of ourselves.
Exactly.
If the show's on air next year, we can come back to some of these issues when they're a bit more relevant.
I'm just waiting for
invading the country.
No
one's invaded the country,
idiot.
Yet, anyway.
Not yet.
Only intellectually.
And figuratively.
You've got to pull out of Iraq first so they can
read your own stuff.
They've got any troops left, yeah.
Good point.
So one of the big changes that's occurred out, I mean, they're just your real sort of, public-y changes. One of the big changes that came out of the news today, actually, and a group that are rather pissed off about this is Google, funnily enough.
They paid a lot
which
of
is
money.
Which is changing copyright so that, changing the copyright law, so that search engines will have difficulty in working. Because the material that search engines bring up is copyright.
That's true.
It brings up bits of things so that you can find it. Now,
it's a bit of a grey area, actually.
It's a bit of a grey area, but this new act serves a great purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It actually degrades the area.
Good, awesome.
It makes it nice and clear that it is illegal and you're going to go to fucking jail.
How does it say that?
Basically what Google has said is that given the vast size of the internet, it's impossible for a search engine to contact personally each owner of a web page to determine whether the owner desires its web page to be searched, indexed or cached. If such advance permission was actually required, as would be required under the proposed act, the internet in Australia would promptly grind to a halt.
The internet to Australia has grown to a halt.
Yes, that's
true. Have you tried to search for anything on an Australian website?
That's also true.
Google.com.au. Try searching for something on Google.com.au.
Google's also concerned about the effect of copyright laws on the digitisation projects, such as the digital book archive that they've been working on for many years, which allow users to download books from the internet.
Gutenberg Project.
Pardon?
Gutenberg Project.
The Gutenberg Project, yes, thank you. Basically, the reason they said this is really bad is that we're firstly adapting the American fair use definitions, which are quite narrow. American fair use is a, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm basically going on what Fee tells me, because she's my expert in these things. She would know. But the fair use conditions is the conditions under which you can use people's material.
Yeah.
There are obviously things such as Creative Commons licenses, which do allow more fair use, and then you've got the more commercial licenses, which basically said, you put two round things on top of someone else's round thing, we're going to sue your ass.
But then I've got nothing to do with copyright, though.
But they do, they are actually included in the current Copyright Act, which is quite interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're going to be included in the current Copyright Act. Yeah, this is actually comments made by copyright law expert Matthew Rimmer from ANU. He said that, and a comment he was actually making was, why the hell is this in the current, why the hell is this going in the Copyright Act? I think what they're doing is they're throwing all the American, and I'll use copyright legislation in its broadest sense, and so not specifically copyright, but usage, licensing, blah, 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 all of that into the one legislation, because I don't think people like Ruddock are smart enough to actually have a broad enough opinion on what this act, what the impact of this actually will be. And they can't see that they need to have a different act here and a different act there and a different act there to try and smooth the path for people to use the act.
He's definitely an idiot.
That's true.
But we are, aren't we supposedly inheriting, like when we get the DMCA, well, it's basically a crime, I would equate the DMCA to.
Mm.
But, you know, the safe harbour provisions and things like that, you know, sort of offer some of the protection that Google's talking about. Because Google are in a difficult position because while they provide search results, they also have the caching to provide the searching faster.
Yeah.
So technically they are actually grabbing people's content and storing it on their own servers, even though it's not part of provision of those materials.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a grey area for them. So what they're suggesting here is that's going to be illegal, is that right?
Yes.
Right, because of the act we're bringing in.
Yes.
But the safe harbour provisions of the DMCA in the US mean that they can do that, and it's up to the copyright holder to ask them to remove the material, and whoever's hosting the material can remove it without any, you know, without any repercussions. So
which,
it's safe harbour.
Which, example, some of the...
Are you getting that?
No, I don't believe we are. In fact, it says here, because they have actually made, they did actually make that point. He said that Google has already attracted legal action from French press agency AFP, authors and publishers in the US.
Google News.
And also a situation with some Californian pornographic company as well.
Yeah.
But there it is. The Australian copyright laws do not take into account how this information is gathered, stored and presented on the internet.
Yeah, right.
So
wow.
I think what we're getting...
I didn't know that was coming through.
What we're getting is an aborted version of the DMCA, not a smart version. It's just... Yeah. You know, it frustrates me because, and I was originally going to call this segment, you know, what do we call this segment? You got a segment name there for it?
Deputy Sheriff of Brokeback Mountain.
Effectively, this...
That's a good title,
it is a good title, and I'm glad you came up with it. I think it's important to point out why this is an issue, because ultimately so many things are changing in Australia because of a free trade agreement that we weren't really told about. And if anyone actually goes into the details, and you can download the entire free trade agreement from both the US, actually you can't download it from the federal government anymore, but you can get it from the US Department,
which is the irony considering it's meant to be free trade.
Exactly. You can't get it off our government's website, but you can get it off the Department of Trade in the US. There are so many things like this that are going to happen, which will fundamentally shift an aspect of Australian corporate life, but also an aspect of Australian media. And I think that's the biggest part of
it. It's crazy.
Yeah,
just taking laws that have been designed for the US market, based on, you know, US conditions and all that sort of stuff, and just picking them up and dropping them down here because we assume they've been tested.
Yeah.
And not 6 months ago when the DMCA was renewed, I think it was 6 months ago, I'm losing track of time.
Yeah, that'd be right, actually.
But, yeah, like beginning of this year in January when the DMCA was, no, it must have been 18 months ago or whenever it was.
It was the original one was 2000.
It was before Wilberforce.
Yeah.
So when it was renewed, Because the original DMCA only went for 5 years. So yeah. It must be beginning this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when it was renewed, they almost voted not to continue it.
Yes. Yeah. Same with the US.
It almost was completely wiped out. And it only just got through with some extra provisions that are still being discussed. And I mean, I'm not keeping up with that stuff. But basically the US, all the senators who were fooled into thinking that it was a good idea at the time because they had no idea because they're old, crusty and grey and don't understand what electronic data is.
The internet is a series of trucks.
Now this, now they're starting to understand it because all their constituents are telling them this is not a good thing.
No.
And they're thinking of throwing it out. So what do?
We bring it here.
Yeah, because the record companies and the motion picture companies
and the publishers
all
and whatever.
All that sort of stuff. So, well, if we can't do it in the US, we'll do it in Australia.
Yeah.
We'll do it in England. We'll do it in, well, we can't do it in Europe because the Europeans are too smart about it.
And this is our problem in Australia. We seem to just take all of this shit on and say, you know what? What a great idea. So you look at our sedition laws.
They'll be putting bloody chaplains in schools next.
Oh, no, and that's the thin end of the wedge. Or the both ends of the wedge. Yeah. But, you know, you've got a situation where you've got, say, in the United States, the US Patriot Act, which came in after September 11, right? Now, the Patriot Act snuck its ass through, even after September 11.
Yeah.
And then when it was renewed earlier this year, it just peeped through. There were actually a number of Republicans that swapped sides. The U.S. Patriot Act is basically an act that gives George Bush an enormous amount of spying power, right? So what do we do in this country? When we put through sedition laws, which we did last year, they just went to the Patriot Act and pulled bits of the Patriot Act that suited them. Now, they didn't pull the provisions, for example, of Bernardo C's library records, which they can do in the U.S. FBI can go into a library, seize its borrowing records, and you are not allowed to discuss at all that you've had your records seized to go. It's a treasonable offence. They didn't do that here, but they pulled the phone tapping stuff. They pulled the sedition laws, and they took away something that even America wouldn't take away, which is your right of free speech. I mean, America, if you tried to take that away, there would be a riot.
Yeah, but you see, you can't take away. In Australia, you can't take away something we don't have.
Exactly. And this
so
is the thing.
It's not like they intentionally said, well, you know, we're going to take away your right to free speech. We never had it, so they didn't need to.
But it's that whole thing about, okay, we're going to take these provisions, but we're going to go further than America can ever go. You know, let's try something new. Mm. And to me, I hate to think of how difficult.
It's one small step for one country, one giant leap for a satellite state of the US.
Exactly right. This is the Walking Back for us, 2888.5 FM. We promise when we get back, we might be funny.
You can't promise.
I said might.
All right, okay.
You've heard a lot about Halliburton lately. Criticism is okay. We can take it.
Within the first day that I was in Iraq, I started to see just incredible waste and compromised safety standards.
The former director of the Defense Energy Support Center, who spent 30 years in the Pentagon, says that we were charged twice what we should have been charged for fuel delivered by Halliburton in Iraq.
Criticism is not failure. Our employees are doing a great job.
We had a soldier describe to us that he saw $85,000 new trucks abandoned or torched beside the road in Iraq if they experience minor problems. After all, the taxpayers are paying for that. 25 tons of nails, they're the wrong size, so they're dumped someplace in the sands of Iraq. Doesn't matter, the taxpayer pays for all that.
We're feeding the soldiers, we're rebuilding Iraq.
$45 paid for a case of Coca-Cola. Food served to the troops despite the fact that the date stamp says this food is expired. It's pretty unbelievable.
One of Halliburton's employees said he saw something wiggling in the water in his toilet bowl, and I saw what looked to me like some kind of larva, so I went and tested our water storage tanks. None. There was no chlorine in them. Of the 67 water treatment plants that Halliburton was getting paid to run, 63 of them weren't providing safe water.
Will things go wrong? Sure they will. It's a war zone. But when they do, we'll fix it. We always have.
The water we showered in every single day was extremely contaminated. Malaria, typhus, Giardia, Cryptosporidium. I mean, the list is really, really long. Some of the diseases that they were exposed to
can affect more than just them. They can contaminate their family, you know. It's going to be a big problem.
We're serving the truth because of what we know, not who we know.
You heard the testimony here. They've not been contacted by the Department of Defense. They've not been asked to give affidavits because we're going to make an investigation of Halliburton. No, because they have friends in high places. And people don't ask rude questions of friends in high places. And that's where we are today.
There's a lot of soldiers over there. They might come home without a bullet wound, but there's a lot of them that are going to come home with pathogens in their blood, and they don't even know to get tested for it unless somebody tells them. And I'm sure Halliburton is not going to be the company to tell them.
No patriotic, God-fearing American company would rip off our troops and our taxpayers in the midst of a war. Thank you for being here today.
Proud to serve our troops.
You say the same thing enough, and everyone starts believing it. Why is it that then so many people call John Howard a lying turd and no one actually believes it? You have to master the art of front, stay on message, and just repeat the same line to every question. So, Softcock, what have you done to help the drought-affected farmers? More than Labor, the party that bought you 17% interest rates. See? Easy. One year on, Fair Pay Commission has given $23 a week wage rise. Care to comment, Softcock? If that had happened under Keating, the whole amount would have been subsumed under 17% interest rates. Let's get a bit tougher. So, the honorary Softcock, who do you think will win Australian Idol? It'll be Dean, because he's a good Aussie lad. Unfortunately, Jessica, she's a bit young, only 17. The same rate as Keating's interest rates. Very easy. Stay on message. So now you know the secret. Stick to your message. Next time you get home late, pissed, smelly of kebab and cheap schooners of VB, just remember the John Howard technique. Your wife says to you, so what time do you call this? You say, it's late. That's true. But not as late as your last boyfriend. Remember those 3 a.m. wake-up calls? The wife says, but he was a shift worker. You say, and then there was that piggery he once owned. So just remember, who is in the house now and who made sure your home is worth $1 million? Marital Bliss, brought to you by Softcock John, on message and in power since 1996. That was Screeching Weasel. And I think we're alone. That's the one, the Tiffany song. You were a Tiffany fan, weren't you?
That I was. Tiffany, Icy Blue.
Was it the ripped jeans and the that was Debbie Gibson had the ripped jeans and the showing the knee.
No, Tiffany was the collar matches the cuffs. That was her. Remember?
Ah, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, no,
the
no.
The collar matches the cuffs.
Think about
exactly.
It.
Exactly. And this is a Walking Back for us here on 888 at 0.5 FM, 12 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock.
I think.
Coming up now is.
No! I've got to come back with my thing. I forgot about that.
Okay.
Oh yeah. So while Richard's working out...
Come back with your thing.
We'll come back with my thing.
I've got two copies of that in here. I've got two versions.
Have you? I'm just trying to find my piece of paper because it's over there. Right. As we mentioned before, it's the American midterm elections. And, of course, I've been monitoring the American midterm elections while we're away in that song break.
Oh, this is the post-song thing.
Yep. So voting has begun. Voting has begun in the most important elections in recent memory in the United States, having potential impact around the world, even here in Australia, where John Howard said he can work with either party. It's a bit surprising, that. And the major sites are, well, they're currently showing nothing. But there has been a fire at one of Orlando's minor tourist attractions. Fire early this morning destroyed a section of Gatorland, one of Florida's oldest tourist attractions, and killed as many as 4 pythons and 1 crocodile. The blaze badly damaged the gift shop entrance and ticket booth, and the giant concrete gator head that serves as the main entrance to Gatorland was charred, with its white teeth blackened with soot and its mouth full of debris. Says park spokesman Ted Fredrickson, we're not going anywhere. Reported in one of the more important states, swing states as they are, which is Florida, and that was from the Florida National Examiner.
Thank you for that update, Peter.
Thank you.
We'll keep the audience tuned for the rest of the evening as well, will we?
We will be keeping the audience tuned for the rest of the evening as
well. It's on a knife's edge, isn't it?
It's on a knife's edge. Or a gator's tooth.
A walk in the Black Forest.
Sting.
Don't make him
rest.
Sorry. Oh, God.
Oh, dear. All right.
Now, let's do it on air. Practice.
There we go.
I'm not getting involved. I refuse to get involved. Oh, I'm on strike.
You're not going
to
lower yourself to our level?
Not on air.
Fair enough.
Off air, I'll sell myself to the devil, but on air, I've got...
You've already sold your soul to me.
Remember so Time what Magazine, I just said?
I'm by the devil.
Time Magazine has just published a list of the... Time Magazine has published a list of the most influential people in the world. He says the list of people who have made the world a better place since 1946.
Oh, if it says Ronald Reagan, I might have to kill someone.
Well, there's some controversial names on the list.
Oh, that's what I'm looking forward to.
You're looking for some controversy?
The most exciting one is that the Sex Pistols are on there.
Of course.
Made the world a better place.
How can they make the world a better place? The Sex Pistols. I understand the influential. I understand the influence.
I think because they've popularized rebellion and radical thinking, whereas up until that point, the world was conservative, end of story.
But at the time, were the Sex Pistols not kind of a bit like a put-together boy band that was building on an already underground movement? Weren't they put together by Malcolm McLaren to do that?
Well, no, they were part of the movement.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I'd actually...
McLaren pushed them.
I have to
them,
say, I go with Abe.
No, they're not part of the movement.
They're manufactured. They're all put together by McLaren to make something.
No, they weren't. McLaren came along later.
See, for me, the real punk band...
Don't you believe what it says in the Great Rock and Roll Swindle, because that's all McLaren.
For me, the real punk band...
Go read the autobiographies.
The band that I think... that I agree with Abe. Manufactured has-beens is what I call them.
I liken the Sex Pistols... to Nirvana.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
They were pretty lame compared to a lot of the stuff that came before or at the same time.
Mm.
And all the popularist media and record companies and stuff all jumped on them. But they were groundbreaking.
I liken them. And please.
Sure, here we go. To the Spice Girls.
I was actually going to say the Backstreet Boys.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Johnny Rotten.
Lance
Bass.
I was actually thinking New Kids on the Block.
Ooh, I like that.
No, NKOTB. Ooh. That's how I... See, because New Kids on the Block, to an extent, were groundbreaking. NKOTB, they came afterwards, and in a way, they were just building an already existing movement.
I don't know
movement.
What's more funny.
A bit like Nirvana.
The joke that you're telling, or the fact that you know all the names.
Well, it's the same band, but that's okay.
Donnie Wahlberg.
What happened to Donnie
Wahlberg? He's Sid Vicious.
Oh, he
is Sid Vicious.
Right. I hadn't thought of that before.
Yeah. Shall I continue on through these names? No more comments about the Sex
Pistols. Jordan Knight. He's Steve Cook.
Anyway, okay. I think it's great that the Sex Pistols are on there, right?
I have the names. Yeah, that's really scary.
It is, isn't it?
The fact that I have a Jordan Knight poster on my wall, naked.
The fact it's stained while it's me.
Boom, boom. Anyway, sorry. So Sex Pistols.
That's fine. So, yeah, but apart from your opinion, do you believe they should be on the list, Pete?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Abe doesn't.
Oh,
suck my dick.
As a movement, as whatever, yeah, absolutely. As influential.
Oh, yeah.
As people who change society, no.
Oh, really?
Mm. Wow. As an influential band, like, you know, for movement and other people to, like, go, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool, you know, and influenced by them, absolutely, no problem at all. But that bettered people's lives or bettered society, no.
Okay.
Wow.
There we go. Backstreet Boys, however, yes.
Do you know what England was like in the 70s?
Yeah.
Dark.
Yeah, it's
rainy.
It's raining.
But I'll give it to you that if it wasn't them, then it would have been somebody else. It's just like Nirvana,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? It would have been anybody else. If it
wasn't Nirvana, it would be, you know, someone like Caius or someone we don't even know.
I can't believe you mentioned Caius.
They're right at the same time.
But the only cred Caius has gone is the guy went on to form the Helicopters, which you hate, Pete.
I do.
I like the Helicopters.
Do you like Helicopters? Wow, you're a Detroit man.
Oh, shite.
We're having a meeting later.
So, in other words, you have been lying to us for years. You like the MC5, don't you?
No. You know what? I thought their name was McFive. I had no idea they were MC5. I thought they were offshoot of the Jackson 5, except Scottish.
Yeah, well, McDonald's musical band.
Kick out the jams, motherfuckers.
So, also on this list is Princess Diana.
Yes.
Yep. J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. That's interesting. You know, the thing about J.K. Rowling is incredibly derivative books. not overly well written.
Is that like if you grabbed all the best fantasy books and you shoved them all into one book, it would be that book? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes and no, but also drawing elements.
I certainly wouldn't agree with
elements
you.
From things like Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, right, yeah.
Drawing elements from that, drawing elements
Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe are like, I suppose, lots of myths and legends and stuff like that. So if you brought all those in, then... Well, no, she's shit.
See, my issue with J.K. Rowling is a simpler one. Mm. You know, I've had this discussion for many, many years. My view of someone like Peter Jackson as a director is he's not a director. He's an executive. He's an executive sort of director.
Mm.
He's like a.
He's
like,
a visionary. He's got a vision.
He's not. I mean, he's a CEO. He's a CEO of an effects company. That's what I was trying to say.
He's that wacky guy in Braindead.
Yeah, fair point. But he's the CEO of an effects company, right?
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling is not an author. She's an accumulator. She just picks bits and pieces and puts it together. Now
she's an aggregator.
Thank you. Ooh.
Aggregator, holy
now,
hell.
Now, the reality is...
fantasy aggregator.
The books are just shithouse. But people love them.
They're not bad. You know, they're readable.
The first book is very crap.
They're readable. I read the whole book.
Did you?
Yeah.
Or the first one?
No, the first one.
Yeah.
I read the first one. The second one was the same book.
Yeah.
That's a good point, too.
The names have been changed to fool anyone under 10, so and anybody who bought it who's over 10.
What was the first one? The first one was the, Philosopher's Stone, wasn't it? No.
Yeah, no, it was...
Yeah, Philosopher's Stone, yeah.
What was that, the movie?
So you would have missed through many years of us.
Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
The Half-Blood Prince we had. We had The Prisoner of Azkaban, which is one of my favourites.
What were the other books?
The Gobshite of Fire.
Yeah, and the Golden Throne of Fire.
The Golden Throne of Fire.
What was the first one, though?
I don't remember.
I can't remember either.
Was it something about the eagle or the big worm or the...
No.
Or the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Harry Potter and the Big Dong. By the way,
I should actually point out that I am
not
accusing J.K. Rowling of plagiarism.
No.
Because she has bucket loads more money than I ever will have.
I just think she's derivative. That's
but I agree her work is derivative.
Let's just say that her last novel sold more than your last novel.
That's true. I tried.
Well, I really did try. Unless Pete wrote the Bible, that's not a huge thing, not a huge graph, not a huge leap.
Well, now you mention it. Would you like a coffee side? I can pull it in.
Yeah, Peter, don't take this the wrong way.
Yes.
But I would like nothing more in my life than to find out that you wrote the Bible.
Wouldn't that, for me,
be my life complete.
Wouldn't that be a great conspiracy
theory? It would change the world forever.
It would
be a beautiful place, let me tell you.
You know the funny thing? It may have actually been someone a bit like Pete who actually did write the Bible.
Yeah, it could well have been.
His name was Bob.
Let's not go into the history. Yes.
Right, so who else is on the list?
So if you're hiding something, please let us know.
Oh, I will.
Misery. Right.
Keep listening to the show.
The Beatles?
Yeah, fair enough.
The Beatles?
Yeah, no, don't deny that.
See, I disagree with that.
Yeah?
Probably for the same reasons.
Derivative hacks?
Same reason that Abe says that the Shakespeare still shouldn't. Mm. What did the Beatles ever change?
Hmm.
Well, they were a big super band.
Like, apart from music.
Weren't they one of the big super bands?
What did they do?
Weren't they one of the big super bands?
But that doesn't change. To quote Abe, what does it change?
That was, wasn't just my last thing.
Yeah, good point.
I know, that's why I stole it. That's what Abe says. A minute ago.
Okay, I'll tell you.
10 seconds ago. Come on, Pete, you're the guy to do this.
Look,
the Beatles.
Okay, the Beatles were probably another great aggregator. They took styles that were not particularly popular. They took a whole bunch of stuff that were musically quite interesting and made it popular and aggregated them together.
Yeah, they were the first pop band, weren't they?
They were. The first proper, well-constructed pop band.
And I just can't believe they ripped off the Monkees. That just completely blows me away.
Bastards.
I just cannot believe.
So I put them in
Mickey
the same
Dolenz,
boat.
You know, he's a legend.
Yes.
I think they opened up young people's minds.
They did.
You know.
So did marijuana. So what?
Well, exactly. That was all together.
Them and
the Sex Pistols. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess the Beatles were marijuana. The thing the Beatles did give the world was that long hair was again fashionable for the first time in about 300 years.
Yeah, look, there's one problem with the Beatles, though. I'll never forgive them for I Am the Walrus Cuckoo Cachoo.
That's Fee's favourite Beatles song ever.
Really?
Really?
Okay, I'll do that joke again. There's one thing that I cannot forgive the Beatles for.
Sure.
Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, fair point.
Oh, you know what I can't forgive? I can't forgive the Fugees cover of Yellow Submarine. Sampling Enya. Let's not go there now.
I can't forgive them for Obla Di Obla Da, but anyway.
I like that song.
You know that song? Goes
on. Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher?
Margaret Thatcher.
What the fuck? Margaret Thatcher.
All right.
Neo-fascist movement. Margaret Thatcher, the woman who inspired such well-known fascists as John Major, Tony Blair, and John Howard.
Please, Softcock John.
Softcock John.
But the thing is, she wasn't a unique individual because she got all her stuff from Ronald Reagan.
That's a good point.
You know, including herpes.
Oh, jeez. This is what worries me.
So the quote here is that, if I can find it,
I'm sure the poems are real. So this is from an American magazine, right?
It's Time magazine.
Yeah, Time magazine. So
but
do
it's
you
the
think...
British European African edition.
I'm sure the Africans are
colonialism. To put it in another insightful way, the non-US edition.
Oh, yes.
So I would be curious.
It says
obviously
here,
she's influential, right?
I'll and
she,
tell you why.
She definitely changed the face of whatever. But do you think it was
well,
in a positive
to,
light?
So ugly. It says she provided a political philosophy which could be followed by countries emerging from communist rule.
What, fascism?
Yeah.
Good point.
And it's not like fascism was unique. It'd been tried.
No, that's true, exactly.
Tried tested in Europe, too.
It was tried.
Been road tested, if you will.
Definitely tried in the US.
The road to Sedentland.
Right. You want a few more?
Yeah, you go for it.
Yelled off?
I don't think we need to call
Bob. Oh, come on. He popularized hunger.
If he solved it, he would have been even better.
Yes. But he popularized it.
I think what Bob Geldof did was he actually popularised the idea that pop stars can provide more to the world than actually just music. What they can do is they can actually trivialise an issue, publicise it, sell enough T-shirts to actually make someone somewhere a lot of money, and then come off with a spin-off album which actually just earns them money.
Oh, it's okay to be cynical, isn't it?
Mm.
It's okay to be cynical.
Easy to be cynical.
It's easy to be okay and cynical.
But would I
be wrong? How many Africans have you saved?
Two.
About the same as Bob Geldof, really.
Yes. Twice as many as Bob.
I'll throw another one out.
Yep.
His good buddy.
Yep.
Bono. Or as I prefer to call him Bono.
As many people in America do. Hello.
Oh, Bono.
This is Bono.
Isn't Bono just really kind of the new, more world weary version of Bob Geldof?
Like some would argue not new.
Because
you two took off in the early 80s.
Oh, no, I mean like that idea of Bono was like, you
I
know...
mean, 79 was
but
Joshua
Tree?
Boy.
But he
oh,
found... But he found
Joshua Tree was like their one? Fifth album,
I thought
dude.
It was the first one. No. I had no idea.
Boy was the first one.
Boy, October, War.
Oh, I didn't know.
There's one more before Joshua Tree.
Under Blood Red Sky.
Under Blood Red Sky.
Oh, no, Unforgettable Fire.
No, that was the live album.
Under Blood... Unforgettable Fire.
What?
Unforgettable Fire.
Was it really? Was that the fifth? All right.
Yeah, that was the 15th.
I had no idea.
So there.
That had pride in the name of love. But.
Stop.
Now, Bono.
Song, eh?
Bono. And Bono's in town at the moment, so I want to say Bono.
Fuck you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, now we're all even.
Yeah.
Right, so
No, I'm talking about
right.
Bono.
Oh.
Bono annoys me.
I think it's great, Pete, because nobody ever does.
Is that because of his Cuban outfit?
That has a bit to do with it. Mm. The fact that he popularised wraparound sunglasses.
Oh, those big beards.
Bad. Oh, yeah.
No one had ever worn them until he did.
No.
No one cool ever did.
No one ever didn't shave.
That's true.
Until Bono first
shave. No one ever wore devil horns until he did. No, my issue
apart
with...
Apart from the devil.
My issue with Bono is Bono has linked the removal of human suffering to Christianity.
Has he?
And
has
that's
he? Because he's a Christian.
You're hardcore.
I didn't know.
Hardcore
Christian, hardcore Catholic. He's an Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
So he's linked.
Well, at least it's on the right side.
He's linked.
sorry.
Ooh, biting political comment. He's linked his Catholicism to his reason why he's trying to remove third world debt.
Really?
Now, I have an issue
why
with that
whack?
Because, you know, to
yeah,
me...
that waters down the message, doesn't it, Pete?
Well, it waters down the message. But, B, there's too much linking of religion to anything. Now... In America this week, there was a major religious leader from the Christian Life Church, I think, in Colorado Springs, in Colorado, who was accused by a very large, muscular gay man of buying methamphetamine from him.
All right. The guy said, no, I didn't. And then the guy produced video footage of this pastor buying methamphetamine.
He had to.
The guy then said, the big muscular gay man then said, and I had sex with that man. The Christian pastor said, no, not true at all, not true at all. I only bought the drugs and I didn't take them. He then produced footage of him having sex with that man for every week for the last 3 years.
Right.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
Finally, he retires. Has to resign from his church. The biggest thing he says is that I can't save any more souls now I am out of the church. Now, to me, why do you have to be, you know, a God lover in order to be a good citizen of the world?
Well, he was a God lover and he wasn't, was he?
Well, okay.
That's the point.
But, okay.
He was a boy lover.
He was.
No, no, he was a big muscular gay lover.
Yeah.
But my point is...
He's my back
the fact that he has to now... Okay.
Do you see the interview with the prostitute?
The prostitute?
The male prostitute. The guy you're talking about, the gay lover. He wasn't a gay lover. He was a male prostitute.
Yes, he was. He was a male prostitute.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
He was the most down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
It's great. And it's like, he just said, oh, yeah, look... I wasn't going to let him get away with lying, so I thought I'd just bring him down.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, good on you.
Yeah.
Good on you, you know?
You know, and, okay, his timing...
I hope he gets a book deal out of it, let me tell you.
His timing is, of course, rather excellent.
Well, he's already had a movie deal, American midterm elections.
But, you know, to me, Bono, it frustrates me that you have to connect Christianity with good deeds. Mm. The Catholic Church charges people... And says, we can't build another school. We can't get you out of a demountable classroom and put air conditioning in your classrooms. You have to raise that money yourself at the school. The Catholic Church is the single richest organization in the world.
Also,
richer than the American economy.
They charge you to worship.
Yes, they do.
When you go to worship, they charge you. Now, that's a problem. Did you know that the priest
that's
who
called was. That's a clique charge.
Did you know that the religious figure who was in charge of covering up and moving priests, particularly around Europe, who'd molested small children. Do you know who that was?
No.
Pope John Paul?
The Cardinal Ratzinger. Do you know who he is now?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Funny you should mention him.
Pope Floppy the Third.
Shall we continue on?
Yeah.
We shall.
Right. Well, we might just shoot through a few.
Yep.
Oh, it'll be the first one.
Yeah.
Because they're not really
important.
What's the controversial?
Controversial. Meaty.
Samuel Beckett.
Yep.
Henry Moore, sculptor.
Yep.
I like Henry Moore.
Francis Bacon.
Yep.
He invented bacon.
He did.
Yep.
And Sir Freddie Laker.
He invented lakes.
Who the airline dude.
Yep.
Who else we got here? Judi Dench.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep.
British Dench. She's an actress.
Yep. Yeah.
Kyle MacLachlan.
And the best M. Since Bernard Lee.
And she's a dame as well.
Mm.
Right, so,
and there's nothing like a dame.
Now, I don't know this one.
Nothing in the world.
Helen Mirren is apparently a British actor as well.
She is.
She is.
Yeah?
Yep.
So Vanessa Redgrave and Glenda Jackson also got...
So are you telling me that how many people are in the top list again? Was the top...
It doesn't say.
Okay. So you're telling me that four people...
4 million, I believe.
So you're telling me four people out of this top list were English female actresses? Well, as opposed to male actresses who were the ones sleeping with the priest.
Glenda Jackson's an MP as well. She's a Labour Party MP.
She drinks her own urine.
She does, yes. She does.
Is she really?
Yes.
Maybe that's why she made the list.
It has restorative powers, so she says.
It's not great for your teeth or your gut, but it's okay there now.
Anna Politkovskaya, who was shot last month, the Russian journalist.
The Ukrainian journalist, yeah.
And
okay, hold on. But she's not the only journalist to have been killed doing that particular investigative kind of journalism.
No, but she was the one who exposed all the Chechnya stuff, right?
But there was other people involved as well who have also been killed.
Sure, and they may be on the list.
Yeah,
I don't know.
All I'm
doing is reading from a list that I sucked from somewhere and didn't even check any of the sources.
You go, girl. That's what
I
do.
Randomly deleted a whole bunch of names. So, in theory, there could have been other people
Nelson
on the
Mandela,
list. I believe I was on the list, but I censored it out because I thought that would be unfair to you guys.
It's a bit pretentious.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Mm. Abe's on the list. You'd just be on it, man.
I was on the list. I was sitting on the list.
Nelson Mandela.
Yep.
Nelson Mandela.
No. Tell you, I don't know why they put a black man on the list.
Funny you should mention that, because you know who died during the week?
De Klerk.
No, F.W. De Klerk. Botha.
Yes, Peter Botha.
P.W. Botha. He died during the week.
Unrepentant.
What? You know,
unrepentant.
Oh, really? Yeah, unrepentant.
My God.
He would...
91, I think.
You know, that just tells you that good people die young and the acquits live forever.
They do.
That's annoying, because if there's such a place as hell, I'm going to bump into him.
Because he basically said that, you know, we should never have let those blacks take over our country.
No, because he was following God's law, so he'd have to go to heaven.
Yeah, he'd have to go to heaven.
Yeah, yes.
That's right. Don't talk to me like
that. What means heaven? So Mandela,
yes.
Where the gates are opened by the kiffers.
Oh,
that's what he
right, he would.
He must admit, something he'd say.
Mandela's story is an awesome story, isn't it? And when you think about it, you forget. What happened, don't you?
I remember sitting up watching his release from prison on TV.
Unbelievable.
I had a little black and white TV, and I sat up in bed and I watched his release. I waited up and up and up and to watch his release from prison. It was quite amazing.
It was amazing.
Who would have thought when the specials released that song?
Pre Nelson Mandela.
Mm. Yeah.
But here's the interesting point, right? You go to an average 20-year-old and you talk about Nelson Mandela, the level of awareness, probably nil.
They don't have an awareness of anything.
The level of understanding, oh, yeah, so what? He got out of jail.
Isn't he the UN guy?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what, he got out of jail. What was he in there for? You know.
What's apartheid?
Yeah, we have, if you'll pardon the use of the phrase, we have whitewashed our history. And we have removed.
Sterilized.
Sterilized history. And that's, once again, is another outcome of neoconservative government.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't suit Bush to talk about Mandela as, you know, a freedom fighter, a revolutionary.
But see, you're exactly right, because what happens is they then whitewash the fact that all these terrible things were happening.
Yeah.
Because then they can distract attention from the fact that maybe we should fix the rest of the world at the same time.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And you know, would they have invaded Johannesburg?
No.
No, exactly. Because
you can invade it by sea, but not by land.
America was one of the greatest breakers of the cultural boycott on apartheid.
The US wouldn't have invaded South Africa. They would have moved there.
That's true.
Well, they would have sent some of their population.
It's sunnier than Washington.
Yes, exactly.
It's great surfing too.
It's more tolerant of racial hatred.
We could have moved Vegas over to Sun City.
Yitzhak Rabin. From Israel, who was assassinated.
I think so. There was an interesting thing in the paper.
There's only one man in a movement, let's be honest.
There was an interesting...
But he was in a position to at least make...
He was the only guy who really sort of tried to push it, so...
There was an interesting thing in the paper today. I was reading the New York Times, and there was a story about...
Why were you reading the New York Times?
I was reading the New York Times.
He's such a Yankee.
He's even got a subscription.
I do. I've got a subscription to USA Today, actually.
Yeah.
You read USA Today?
I have a subscription. I get a printed copy sent to me every day.
Dude, it's... But, oh, forget it.
It's the international edition. So... reading USA Today, there was an interesting... Not USA Today, I was reading the other time. Let me get back to the message. Stick to the message, Peter. Stick to the message.
I think we got the message.
That I'm a fascist?
Well, I'm heading that way. First I sold you my soul and you voted for John Howard. I don't mind.
New York Times, there was a guy basically saying that one of the fundamental problems of... Oh, what happened there?
Sorry, dude.
One of the fundamental problems of the last year, and particularly of the Bush presidency, obviously has been the Bush complete ignoring of the whole Israeli Hezbollah thing.
Mm.
And the fact that he basically... As someone said, opened the back door and held it open while and let them do whatever they want for 6 weeks, which is completely un-American. It's a very un-American way to approach it.
Take it up the ass, or to give it up the ass.
It's not what I've seen on the internet.
But what he said is really fascinating is that in reality, what Bush has done by allowing Israel to do that and fail, that they couldn't even beat Hezbollah, which aren't even a government, and that Hezbollah beat them. Not militarily, but by giving the Lebanese people stuff they need, like food and shelter and rebuilding their house.
And ambulances.
And keeping them alive has actually weakened Israel's position inside the region. And has actually improved the reputation of Iran.
And it's also strengthened Hezbollah's stand in Syria, in Lebanon, and in Jordan as well.
Excellent.
And the Jordanians are really not very impressed.
George W. Bush running for Hezbollah next election.
That's awesome. I mean, Iran deserves its place in the Middle East. It's done an awesome job, I reckon.
I think so too. So
I say give him the nuclear weapons.
Well, that's lucky.
Kim Jong-il's going to. But my point about why I so mentioned Rabin at least, you know, there are enough hawks in the Israeli cabinet who would, if they really had half a chance, would effectively make most of the Middle East a nuclear wasteland.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if they could stop the fallout getting into Israel, they'd do so.
Maybe that's why they built the wall.
And Rabin got through that and actually fought enough to get some level of you know, independence for places like Gaza and whatever else, recognize Yasser Arafat as a world leader, not just a terrorist.
You have to be a complete and utter imbecile, don't you, if you think that confrontation is going to improve your stance in the Middle East. You're completely surrounded.
Yep.
And you just refuse to, you know, just keep invading places and killing people. You're going to be a complete and utter moron if you think that's going to solve the problem.
I think the problem is they think they're America, but America's an island. Well, technically. And so they can actually go from, you know, sea to something sea and just bomb people.
Yep.
But you see, the problem is Israelite, because the neighbours will just, just knock on the door. Excuse me.
Well, South Lebanon...
How
close was South Lebanon? The Hezbollah rockets were fired into... could reach Tel Aviv. Hmm. And they had pretty primitive rocketry.
Weren't guided. They were just basically let them off.
Yeah. And they hit Tel Aviv. And they hit, I can't remember...
A lot of the northern towns and stuff like that.
And, you know, look, Israel has, over the years, had a number of foreign policy failures. I mean, if you look at most of their wars, they've turned out to be foreign policy failures.
In the long run, yeah.
And the only time Israel has actually had some foreign policy successes and has actually been seen as a productive member of the Middle Eastern community was during Rabin's time. Yeah. And then with the whole Barack-Clinton plan. Yeah. They were the only two times. And Barack, who were the Barack man, originally was considered to be a right-wing hawk.
Mm. And the interesting thing about that is, which...
Tank commander.
Kind of brings that up.
That
Israel doesn't see itself as part of the Middle East.
No.
They think they're part of Europe.
Exactly right.
And that's why they're in Eurovision.
It's a bit bizarre. I've always wondered about... And won Eurovision with a transvestite.
Cool.
They did. They won Eurovision about 4 years ago with a transvestite.
Oh, there you go. There's
was
a good foreign policy decision. Mikhail Gorbachev.
She had testicles.
Awesome.
Mikhail Gorbachev,
rightly deserved. Mikhail Gorbachev should, yes, absolutely.
Once again, whitewashing history, Gorbachev is now considered to be just a capitalist pig on the speaking circuit, no better than Anthony Robbins and General Schwarzkopf.
That's
a sad fact of our history.
Very sad.
The interesting thing about Gorbachev is, they may have been on the list, but what about Lech Walesa?
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
I mean, he started it, effectively.
He did.
Right? When Poland collapsed, it was then all over.
Yeah, Poland was the first domino.
No,
I agree.
So, I don't know, maybe the people who wrote this aren't old enough to know.
Isn't this another little minor rant, isn't this another example of the simplification of history?
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
So, the entire fall of communist Europe was because of... Gorbachev,
who inherited a country out of control.
Exactly, or the entire upswing.
Well, yes and no.
But this is the thing. The way America has prepackaged history, or the way the American popular media has prepackaged history, Gorbachev is it.
Mm.
Like, Schwarzkopf won the first Gulf War.
Mm. On his own.
You know,
He's a big man.
The only thing about the Clinton presidency was that Monica Lewinsky sucked his dick. They're it. And this prepackaging, this very tiny, simplistic understanding of history, I think, puts Gorbachev in obviously a much higher historical perspective than he was not the sole person behind it.
No, that is very true, but you have to admit that he was actually the person who directed... He was the only person who directed governmental change.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. He was
the only person who was actually saying, OK, East Germany...
Yep.
Now, what we're going to have to do here is... just tear down the wall, because the thing is, it had nothing to do with Reagan at all. Reagan goes, oh, well, I told them to tear down the wall, and they did. Because if Gorbachev didn't say tear down the wall...
Did Reagan even remember what a wall was at that stage?
Oh, probably not.
No.
If Gorbachev didn't say tear down the wall to the East Germans, then the East German soldiers just would have shot everyone.
That's true. While they're on the wall.
So governmental change. The big stumbling block, I think, for Gorbachev was Georgia.
Yep.
And Georgia did kind of revolt as that process was going on. And that's where he had to go, look, calm down, crush them. And he did, absolutely. Right? He crushed them to stop everything else falling apart.
Yeah.
And I suppose that the sad thing is that the CIS, Commonwealth of Independent States, didn't actually survive long enough because Yeltsin came in.
Yeah.
If Yeltsin hadn't come in, then the Commonwealth of Independent States would have seen a greater amount of democracy untainted by America, as it has been now, actually happen in those
so you
conflicts.
End up with things like the problems you have in Kazakhstan and whatever else.
Ongoing Chechnya.
Yeah, the ongoing Chechnya, problems in Ukraine's reasonably decent.
Even Georgia's falling apart
Georgia's
again.
Falling apart,
So just to get a little bit more flippant, Yuri Gagarin?
Oh, please, I strapped into a rocket and shot him into space.
Yeah,
I can do that.
It's not like
It's
not like he built his own rocket.
What about the monkey? Where'd the monkey they shot up?
Micah was the dog.
I don't know the name of the monkey.
Oh, they did.
The Americans send up monkeys
and the Russians set up dogs.
Micah. Micah was the first dog in space. Yeah.
There we go. Is that where they got the camera company's name from?
Micah? Is that a camera company? Well, shit.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I did not know.
There we go.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Wish they had, though. It would have been funny.
Pope John Paul II.
You know, the thing about Pope John Paul II was, he single-handedly said to Africa, instead of stopping AIDS by using contraception, fuck it. Just go and do what you want, and we'll just let it spread.
Yeah. Which is why now in Uganda.
That's influential. And for that, I think he should be there. That should be his legacy. Pope John Paul, you killed a continent. Well done, son.
But they're all going to go to heaven in a little rowboat.
No, that's the problem. They won't.
No.
In Catholicism, they won't.
Because they're broke. Well,
they fornicated. They weren't all married, for God's sake.
Two-thirds of Ugandan men have AIDS.
Wow.
Two-thirds.
So, you know when they're selecting the new pope and everyone's looking and waiting for the smoke?
Yep.
That's the after-sex cigarette.
Of a million AIDS-ridden Africans.
It's God going...
That was good.
I liked it.
That's the new pope going, ooh, thanks, gents.
I won't be sitting down for a week.
Mother Teresa?
Mother Teresa, my ass.
Yeah.
Some soccer star.
Yeah.
Coco Chanel. Sakharov. Andrei Sakharov, yeah. Solzhenitsyn.
Yeah, fair enough.
So what, they got out the Russian history book at this point and just started leaping through?
Anyone with the name Itzen?
What about Yuri Itzen?
Enzo Ferrari?
What about Yuri Andropov?
nice.
Sophia Loren?
Why? She had big boobs.
And this is a good one. Fila Kut.
Is that like Patna Hunt?
It says Fila
Kuti.
There we go. That's it.
He's an African blues guitarist.
And he changed world history.
He did. So this is the list of people who basically we couldn't give a fuck about.
Yeah,
is that what it is? Nice.
But I think it's good the Sex Pistols made it.
Now, there's still no news from the midterms, although, as I said, voting has now started in the Midwest. This is probably because the voting machines are still booting up in the white electorates. That's these beautiful, beautiful voting machines.
Yep.
And the chalk and slate are still being unpacked for the black booths. This is just...
Wait a minute. Did they get chalk this year?
They did.
Oh, it's nice.
I know, it's amazing.
They just got a slate.
They only get a slate that's about an inch wide.
Yep. And there's
not
only
one, after Dick Cheney.
But there's only three of them for all 30,000
nice.
In Florida. But that's okay, 30,000 in one Florida booth. But anyway, this is just in from the Washington Post.
Actually, no, they've fixed that problem, Pete.
Yep.
Yeah, they've sent everyone a raises.
Yep.
So once the slate's full, you can just rub it out and start again.
Nice.
Yeah.
The only problem is, I think actually in Wisconsin, they actually told most of the black electorates that the election is actually in 2 days' time.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah, that's clever. But anyway, the claim is, of course, jostling on the important issues of the day. It's because it is important to cover only what matters for America and thereby for the rest of the world. In the Nevada gubernatorial race.
Isn't that gubernatorial?
It is gubernatorial, you're correct.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure we're being historically.
Between Republican Jim Gibbons and Senate Minority Leader Dana Titus, who's a Democrat.
Her name's Titus?
It is. It's been a normal political debate, and this is, of course, reported on the in one of the Las Vegas papers, and I didn't actually write the name of the paper down. Reno Gazette Journal, there we go.
Oh, that's no fun. It should be called the Las Vegas Razzle Dazzle.
Indeed. In the Reno Gazette Journal, they've reported that... they're not really talking about the policies of either Jim Gibbons or Dana Titus. They are referring to the fact that last week a woman called 911 after Gibbons, the Republican, having consumed quite a bit of alcohol, allegedly accosted her in a Las Vegas parking lot. Making matters worse, reports surfaced this week that suggested Gibbons and his family may have knowingly hired an undocumented immigrant as their housekeeper and babysitter.
I'm shocked.
And occasionally made her hide in the basement to keep her illegal status a secret.
I am shocked.
Now, also reported on his policy position on Iraq and on healthcare and on the important issues for America, that a Las Vegas cocktail waitress, and there's many of them, said Wednesday she was offered money to recant allegations that a Republican congressman running for Nevada governor assaulted and propositioned her. The alleged bribery attempt that Chrissy Mazzeo, 32, described in a news conference reignited the sex-tinged controversy that Republican Jim Gibbons said could influence his tight contest with Dana Titus.
I was going to say, a tight contest with a tight ass.
It's good to see that the Reno Gazette Journal cuts to the important political issues in this important midterm election. And that
Thank
is the
you,
final
Peter.
Update.
That's,
for tonight.
It's getting quite tense.
It's getting close.
It's getting quite tense.
Getting close.
Mm. And thank you for keeping us updated.
No worries. It's been my pleasure.
Good.
It's been my pleasure. And the Reno Gazette Journals. And the Seattle Post-Intelligencer.
Good. Fantastic.
Nice.
All right.
Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches.
Yes. Time for...
millions of peaches.
It's so relaxing here, isn't it?
It is calm.
Yeah, whatever. Bring it on.
In it's only about 5 minutes here after 12 o'clock here on a walk by Forest. Triple R 88.5 FM. Millions of peaches.
So I've got two quick ones tonight.
Okay.
Story of my life.
It is.
There's actually no peaches tonight.
We should get together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Peaches doesn't actually factor in tonight's show.
Really? So it's technically millions of peaches by separation.
Saul's peach.
Yeah, it's millions of bobs.
Mm. Bob's tonight, okay.
Move into the country, gonna eat me a lot of Bob.
You know.
Paul Oyates has seen that for years.
So, Pope Benedict.
Yes.
Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Bono and Bob Geldof, amongst the first people to buy.
Ripped into a bar.
To buy.
That's true, two Irishmen, a Pope and a Rabbi, walk into a bar.
Exactly. There's about a dozen lines there. I'm not going to go ahead. Amongst the first to actually put in orders for some of
for the latest U2 digipack.
No. Gordon Brown has put together what are called the vaccine bonds.
Yep.
And you can actually go buy a bond.
Yep.
And your money is used to then vaccinate people.
Yep.
In Africa.
Yep.
Against what? Catholicism?
There's a vaccine for that now?
Do you want one?
Bloody yes, please.
Oh, I'm so lost. I ask you. That's such a...
You're prepared or not done.
It's not democracy. I'm gonna get it.
Capitalism?
Thank you! my head's just not working right. So there's a $1 billion sale of bonds, and they're amongst the first people to go out and buy them.
Yep, because, so Bono bought one.
Well, yes.
And Geldof bought one, and the Pope actually asked people to buy them for him.
Exactly.
So that was good.
Yeah. Gordon Brown's vaccine bonds are going well. He's got a grand total of $3 for that fund.
That's great.
That's good on him.
Do you know how many Africans that's going to save? Nearly as many as the previous Pope killed in a minute.
Yes. And as many as Bob Geldof saved in 1983.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
I thought he was in 1984. Oh, no, that was William Hurt.
Yes.
Or John Hurt.
Those $3 would probably get part of the vaccine. Mm. That's unfair, Abe, because that $3 would get part of the vaccine shifted about a centimetre in the fridge in England,
where it is.
Yeah. So that's what Bob's up to at this point. And I must apologise, because we never talk about what Bob's doing. Every week, there's about three or four things that Bob gets up to.
Yep.
Mm. And they're boring.
That's very true. So what else is Bob
mostly,
up to?
Mostly he's speaking to big corporate companies about big corporate things.
I wonder why.
He's such a class warrior. He really is. Breaking down the barriers of class between rich people and rich people.
I like how he stands up for his roots.
I think so too.
The roots, the radical.
Yeah.
It's good that he stands up for them. And he remembers the people in Africa every time he accepts those $25,000 checks to stand there. Do you reckon he bathes more often?
No.
So there's a comedian
donating more often.
In England by the name of Brand.
Brand.
I don't know his first name because my printer has got a big white line down it and I've accidentally not had his full name.
Just call him John.
Name. Call him name.
Brand. And apparently he's more popular than Ricky Gervais on talk shows and stuff like that. But he's gotten into a bit of trouble because he's a bit offensive in his material and all that sort of stuff.
Blue.
He's a bit blue, so he's made a lot of friends and a lot of enemies. Anyway, he was hosting this year's NME Awards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Bob Geldof won an award for Best DVD.
Yeah,
what DVD did he put out?
I don't know. It might have been the Africa thing. I'm not too sure.
It's Live 8, probably.
Yeah, Live 8, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably Live 8, something. Anyway,
is he going to sell the trophy and send it to Africa? No, he's going to sit it at home, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to melt it down and sell it and buy a peach. Anyway, so he comes up on stage to get these awards from Brand.
There's lines there, you know that.
Brand. Mm-hmm. There's a line coming.
I'm thinking of...
There's a line coming. So he gets up and he accepts the award from Brand.
Yep.
And Bob just goes, Brand, what a cunt. and then walks off with his award.
Oh, jeez, I love people who
To which Brand turns around and says, it's no wonder Bob Geldof knows so much about famine. He's been dining out on I Don't Like Mondays for 30 years.
Wow.
Yes.
Nice.
And that's our peaches for this week.
I was going to say that he was dining out on dead Africans.
Well, true. I see he's also been doing that as well.
Mm.
I have one final piece of stuff.
Go for it.
In Holland, they've just discovered that duct tape does not work any better duct tape does not work any better than doing nothing to cure warts in school children.
That's an awesome note.
The study of 103 children aged 4 to 12 showed the duct tape worked only slightly better than using a corn pad. Apparently they expressed, disappointment at learning that sticky tape doesn't cure warts. I wondered why they learned this at all, but they did. Apparently Dutch researchers are hard at work verifying reports of fairies at the bottom of the garden, sightings of storks delivering babies, and fat bearded men breaking into people's homes at Christmas and spying on their children.
Those damn Dutch...
And you should have sold those shares in that corn company.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. What about cobwebs?
They work.
They work on blood. They work.
And chicken spittle.
Chicken spittle. What do you use chicken spittle for?
A
marinade.
Sounds a good time.
Nice. So what you get it like a chicken leg, and you marinate it in chicken spittle.
Okay, you're gonna make me vomit.
I believe a tour of duty with the U.S. forces also cures corns.
That's true. It does.
Also
cures life, really. Now you get a big thing of broccoli, and you marinate that in chicken spittle.
All right.
So did you make you throw up?
No. See. So Abdullah Muhammad Saleh. Abdullah Muhammad Saleh was getting on a plane from somewhere to Turkey. Oh, we're coming out of here. That's it. End of story. And his two-year-old child was...
You've got 45 seconds.
His two-year-old child was stopped from getting on the plane because he was marked as a terrorist. And when they got to the immigration, the passport checking, basically the security guy there says, your son will have to... No, his son said, I'll have to take your son. And he goes, be my guest, because he thought he was joking. He said, no, he's on a security list of people who are banned from flying. And they showed his full details, and yes, he was banned from flying.
So is the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Really?
Well, I'm not.
It's probably because he doesn't have wings yet.
And Cat Stevens.
Well, I'm not surprised.
And Cat Stevens. But I think that's just because they really think that Morning Is Broken is a really shit song.
Right, we're out of here. We'll see you next week.
Auf Wiedersehen, people!
And remember...
www.walkbackforest.org.
There you go.
And the Peterpedia.
Whatever happened to Peterpedia?
I don't know.
We're not talking after the intro's finished.
I'm trying to cue something up because no fuck is giving me a song.
I'm
going to
play a song.
Oh, wrong one.
Moving to my country, gonna eat me a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, gonna eat me a lot of peaches.
Hey, we're good, Pete, aren't we?
We are. Can we keep singing?
Moving to the country, gonna eat me a lot of peaches. Moving to the country.
He's taking his time, too.
Eat me a lot of peaches.
Oh, well, that's good.
Moving to the country. Gonna eat me a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, gonna eat me a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, gonna eat me a lot of peaches.
Nothing compares to excellence of Belgian chocolates from Belfleur.